Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Nadine Whitney, and this is a podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Naarm, Victoria, Sovereignty Never Ceded. Today, I'm bringing you an interview with the extraordinary Julie Pacino discussing her debut feature, I Live Here Now, starring Australian Lucy Fry, comedian Matt Rife, icon Cheryl Lee, and Madeline Brewster. The film is screening at the Sydney Underground Film Festival, and it is a haunting exploration of trauma amongst women, but also just a haunting, impossible film that in the end turns out to be something very strengthening, and it's beautifully, beautifully shot. If you want to find out more about the work we do on The Curb, then head over to thecurb.com.au or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at thecurb.au. We are a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like you. Visit patreon.com/thecurb.au, where you can support our work from as little as $1 a month. If you are unable to financially support us, then please consider sharing this interview with your film-loving friends. We'd also love it if you could rate and review us on the podcast player of your choice. Every review helps amplify the interviews and stories of filmmakers and actors of every stripe to a wider audience. New interviews drop on Thursdays with bonus chats appearing on Tuesdays.
Guns don't kill people.
We're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Funny, is it?
I'm gonna throw up.
What's the worst could happen?
Here with Julie Pacino, director of the haunting I Live Here Now. It's an incredibly assured debut that disturbs and intrigues, a dark and majestic work of psychological and body horror that refuses to hold back on harm done, a twisted fairy tale of courage and claimed selfhood. So, Julie, you were talking about earlier about fairy tales and how they work in your film. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, like the fairy tale of it all was really a device to explore the stories that we tell ourselves to protect ourselves from things that have happened to us in the past. So for me, when I was in the very early stages of writing this movie, I was sitting with some feelings about some you know, the resurfacing of some trauma that had happened to me as a little girl, and I very clearly was starting to just see some of the stories that I created around that to protect myself from the truth, which was quite dark, and needed to be dealt with. And so, with I Live Here Now, it was really important to capture that and to give it that feel when Rose makes the transition from like the quote unquote real world into the I'm going to say fantasy, but into herself, into her truth, and frame that in, you know, with this sort of like with the pinks and this and the literal booklet, which is, you know, her fairy tale and her story that she's written for her younger self to protect herself. So I love, yeah, I love that you talk about fairy tale. It's definitely by design. And also, yeah, just I tried to not pull any punches on this. So unflinching is cool. Like I it's my first feature, so I wanted to take a big swing.
Yeah, well, you did, and I think it connects with so many people, and I think women especially who kind of try to rewrite their histories and the things that have hurt them in a way that you know they can keep moving forward, but that often they have to bury parts of themselves, you know, the small self that didn't ever quite get to blossom. And you've got a small self in the character in the hotel of Sid, who is she's a joyous happy creature, and you know there's a sense that she's in danger as well from a darker aspects of you know another self, which is Lillian, who is you know kind of sadistic and dark and needy, but also seductive and empowering. So, you know, I think we do rewrite these things. We do put on characters as well. And it's important, I
Totally.
think, too, that Rose is an actor. So, as an actor, she has been trying to push herself into different characters all the time. And once you push yourself into a different character, you don't have to be yourself and deal with yourself. You just have to deal with the psychology of the person you're playing.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's why it was so fun to examine her character and this journey through that, because she even says it to Cindy. She's like, it's acting is the only thing I've been good at since I was little. And it's like, that's such a crushing, it's a kind of a throwaway when you, because I we don't emphasize it, but whenever I rewatch the movie, that becomes so sad to me that that's the only thing she's considers herself to be good at. But yeah. Anyway, that I love that you picked up on that. That's exactly right. It's just she's been an actor her whole life in more ways than one.
Yeah, and you know, she's a very lonely character as well. You know, she puts up with the terrible boyfriend Travis, played by Matt Rife, who's just like, you know, I don't know, kind of a gym rat, I guess, maybe. I don't know, like, what does he do except, you know, whatever his mum tells him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of his mum, you've got the amazing Cheryl Lee to play her. Can you tell me a bit about working with Cheryl? Because, you know, her career is 90% weird, you know.
Yeah, she's definitely she's definitely a fan of the subconscious and creating art from that place, and she was amazing to work with. She is such a presence on set. The character is so much scarier than it even was on the page. You know, the presence that she brought to that character and the dominance, and also just because of her experience working in with this kind of material, it was great for all of us to lean on her as a resource in that way. I know Lucy and her developed a close bond, and you know, that was just so special to see. And yeah, I mean, you know, just I kind of it wasn't even my idea to cast her. Our producer Bob McCready like brought her up when we were trying to figure out Martha, and it was just, you know, it was just the most brilliant idea. And I didn't know like what her criteria was, because it seems like she's so specific with what she chooses to do. So I sent her the script, and we had a really electric first meeting, and she asked me like a lot of tough questions, and I opened up to her, and she opened up to me, and I just knew it was going to be perfect, because that's I mean, with all the actors really, down to Matt Rife and Travis, it was just everyone really bought into that personal aspect of it, and it just it felt like a really tight-knit little family. So but yeah, Cheryl Lee is just I think she's one of the greatest actresses of all time, and her performance in Fire Walk with Me, does not get mentioned as much as it should. It's just
Well,
incredible.
Fire Walk with Me, not to go off on too much of a David Lynch tandem, was critically crushed when it first came out, and it's been obviously reappreciated over the years as a masterpiece. But I think people just weren't ready for this thing to happen, because it was in between the two seasons of, well, it's set in between two seasons of Twin Peaks, and yeah, they weren't ready for this scene where, Laura suddenly got black lips and is like screaming almost.
So
And
scary, so haunting.
yeah, it is, and it's incredibly haunting. But I think you, and I don't want to call your film Lynchian, because I think often Lynchian is just a word people use when they say, "I don't understand." Like, I don't get it, it's weird, so it's Lynchian. But it's Lynchian in the sense that you play with aspects of in betweens, like the dream, the reality, and that sort of thin veil of what exists between those spaces. And
I
can you
love
tell?
that place.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is. It's I recently realized I trust nightmares more than I trust dreams, because good dreams, I trust nightmares because they make me work out stuff.
They're telling you something, yeah.
Yeah, and I trust them more than these kind of hopeful sort of flittery things that or even, I don't know, flying dreams. I don't think I've ever had a flying
You
dream
can
where.
fly. Those you can have both. You can have nightmares that tell you something, and you can have flying dreams, and they can both come true.
Yeah, except in all my dreams of flying, I have to flap, and I can never get high enough.
Oh my God. That's a nightmare then.
It is my flying dreams are nightmares. I can't get over power lines.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Yeah, but I do trust that kind of nightmare world or uncomfortable world a little bit more than I trust, the sparkly stuff. And I think to get to the sparkly stuff, you have to learn how to negotiate that nightmare. So,
Totally.
Lucy Fry, now as a fellow Australian, what was it like working with a fellow Aussie?
Yeah, and how cool that we're having our Australian premiere at such a dope festival. I wish it's such a good excuse to go to Australia, and I wish I could be there. But I'm super excited for her. Yeah, she. I mean, kind of. Lucy, so like casting Rose was really challenging. The script was quite dense, with symbolism and colors. And when I wrote it, I knew that I would be directing it, I hoped that I would be directing it. It wasn't a thing that I really wrote, for someone else. I kind of just was getting it off my chest, and then when it was finished, it was like, okay, this feels like what could be my first feature. But it was so a lot of the things that you see on screen were in the script. The color of the wallpaper, certain tracking shots, and the way we're revealing information, and the inserts inside this pink Bible. Like, so the script was quite jam-packed, and so I found it challenging casting it, because I think, especially as a first-time director, a lot of the actresses I was meeting with, maybe felt a bit like they couldn't fully grasp what I was going for, and that it would be taking a chance on me. And I had some great meetings with some really talented actresses, and ultimately it would keep coming down to that. And so, but I knew that I was looking for a partner to play this part that would understand the feelings, and understand that each scene was meant to have a specific emotional response that was building towards a climax emotionally for Rose, even as the piece gets super abstract. And so, yeah, like literally my first meeting with Lucy, she read the script and we just started diving into it from minute one. She was like, "Hi, nice to meet you. I read the script. I love it and I have thoughts." And I was like, "Oh, this is different than any other meeting I've had," which was usually going like they were asking me questions. Whereas like Lucy was like, "I'm going to tell you things that this is stirring up inside of me." And some of the things were like, "Yes, that's exactly what I was going for." And then other things were like, "Wow, I didn't even think of it that way." And it just became this amazing collaborative relationship where she contributed a lot of her own, personal history to it as well. And so it was this like real shared safe journey that we were both going on to tell this incredibly personal story through Rose. And so yeah, I swear it was just instant with her because it just was different than every other meeting I had had where it was like, what the fuck is going on in this? It was like, oh, I understand this and I see you, Julie. And frankly, it was like that with everyone that I cast in the movie, like even Cheryl, she was like, I have questions for you. And I'm like, okay, cool. But the questions were based in emotions and feelings, not in like in a literal sense. And so yeah, Lucy, gosh, I mean, she really just put it all on the line for this film, and I'm so proud of her, and I'm so like happy that we were able to capture such a raw performance. I mean, there's just not a false moment in it from her, and she's an incredible talent.
Oh, I agree entirely, and I think that to resonate, like I think the story does actually have, even though you said it's very personal, it does have kind of a universal
Oh, for
resonance
sure.
for a lot of people. But to have her kind of as your point of view character, you have to really feel for what she's going through and believe that she's going through these fantastic and horrific things in this impossible space, and I think she sells that so incredibly
She
well.
grounds it. It's and I knew it needed that. And yeah, I mean, look, when I say it's a personal film, I am talking about, somewhat universally relatable themes. And that's the beauty of making something so personal is you start to realize like, oh, other people feel this way. And I'm not alone. And that's like the great power of art. And that's what's so scary, but so liberating about making something that's really truthful. Is that connection, is the conversation we're having right now, is people relating to it. And that's also Rose's journey. It's kind of taking the things that she was afraid of about herself or ashamed of within herself and purging them and celebrating them and wearing them proudly. And that's what I feel like I've done with this movie. And so for me, it's a success in that, and all my collaborators as well. Like just everyone poured their truest self into it, and we're all really proud.
You should be really proud, and I can't wait for audiences to see it at the Sydney Underground Film Festival, and then later you've got some releasing happening in the States and all sorts of exciting things. So it's going to keep traveling, and people are going to get more of a chance to see it, which I think is brilliant. The one thing I want to just ask you about before you go is you said that earlier, because for people not aware, which would be everyone, record didn't work. So we had quite a long conversation before this. About the hotel that you built it on a sound set. Can you tell me about the design aspects of the hotel, how involved you were, and tell me a little bit about the production design and lighting in general, because those things really like sell the reality fantasy aspects.
Yeah, I mean, it was all in the script. I mean, like, I obviously I hired incredible talents in Hannah and Lucy, our production design team, and Aaron Meinhardt, our cinematographer, to really bring it to that next level. But always it was like, I knew that color was going to play a huge role. I knew that we wanted to shoot on film, so we were going to use shadows to our favor, and because the way that darkness renders on film is just delicious. And yeah, I mean, the production design was so fun because I just was able to dream up everything with my production designers, and we really had a lot of conversations about the patterns in the walls and the type of flowers in the floral wallpaper and the etchings in the armoire as they relate to Rose's body and Rose's scars, and even other things that are really buried in there that, hopefully people can pause and look at when it's watchable in that way. We put a lot of thought and time and effort into that and into what each of these rooms represented for Rose, the surrounding characters, and the emotion that she was reconciling. And so it was like an absolute dream come true to be able to build it from scratch, because there's just nothing like that. It just awards you all the freedom in the world, which, like, to be honest, at the beginning was daunting, because it's just like, there are questions like, where do you want, how many windows? And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, that's, you really have to, it starts off very specific and very technical. But as we were able to lay that foundation and then start talking about thematics and color schemes, it really was just so much fun. And yeah, like, my production design team and the whole art department, there were just all these like really, just really talented artists and designers that just were taking my ideas and my feelings and just completely running with them. And that was, it was just such a creative space. And yeah, like, there's just that different feeling when you step onto set and it feels like this other world. And for me, that's why I love making movies. I love creating these imaginary fantasy worlds that me and like-minded people can step into and disappear into. I've always loved that about film sets, just that mysterious nature, ever since I was a little girl. So I'm always just trying to get back to that like playground. And it was a thing that I was really able to do on this. And yeah, we all had such a blast with it.
Did you spend a lot of time on film sets as a kid?
I did, yeah. Oh, yeah. One of my earliest memories, I've told the story before, but it is being on the set of The Devil's Advocate, and just how scary that was. I was 5 years old or something.
But I mean, you had
Like,
Keanu,
yeah,
so
Keanu and
I mean.
flames and my dad screaming and burnt up bodies
Oh my
on
goodness.
crazy carpets and reds. Just, I remember reds and oranges and being like, okay, my dad's like, okay, this isn't real. This is, but it still felt real, but it felt safe, even though it was scary. And so I love, yeah, that's just sort of ingrained in me. I think I'm fortunate to have been, privy to all of that, and good on my parents for exposing me to it at such a young age, honestly, because it's a thing I always am trying to chase and get back to, that like that wonderment of like, wow, where am I right now? And I want to try to achieve that in my movies as much as possible, to take the audience on that trip too. Like, at the end of the first act, we're just suddenly at this strange pink motel, and we're like, where have we found ourselves? And there's a playfulness and a wonder to that that is just, I love that in movies that I see. I love that in reality. And so, I hope as an artist to get that across, in my art for the audiences.
Oh, I think you absolutely did. And I know I've made a lot of it out about the hotel, but it really, once the film goes into that space, you are immersed. You are completely immersed. And I said earlier, that it's kind of this feminine, like incredibly feminine space, but sometimes very threatening, sometimes very close, too feminine. And then it expands, and becomes
Totally.
a healthy feminine, if that makes sense. So,
No,
yeah.
it does. Yeah, I think that was a conversation we had. Like, yeah, it's so cool what you pick up on, like in the shade of pink. Like there was a lot of discussion over the shade of pink, and I really wanted it to be this, yeah, overbearing femininity. Like just it just like nauseating, just way too much pink. And then, yeah, as Rose settles into herself, it does become more natural, in a way. But yeah, definitely, that's what I was going for.
Yeah, well, I've never seen anything like that on film, like anything like that space on film. And that in itself is, I think, for somebody who, like me, who watches, hundreds of films a year, to say I've not seen a space like that, like represented before, is kind of revelatory. So thank you for giving me that.
Thank you. No, I thank you, and that's the highest compliment I could ask for or receive, because it should be completely unique, familiar enough to buy it, but it should be unique because it came from my imagination, and
Yeah.
so and obviously there are references and influences that seep into my subconscious, but yeah, that's like the greatest compliment I ever. So thank you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I think, references seep into all our subconsciousness. We can't help it. We are, we are audiences always, whenever we look, whenever we edit our own viewpoint, look into our own lives. Look around us, look in the mirror. We are editing, we're self-editing. So
So
we are
true.
cameras all the time. So, of course, we're going to pick up things. Julia, it's been my great, great, great pleasure to speak with you. And I apologize about the technical issues. And thank you so much for your time. Is there anything you'd like to say to people about the film before we go?
Well, I guess I would just say, let it wash over you and go on the journey with Rose and trust the process, because I definitely, it comes full circle at the end. And so, your trust and your openness will be rewarded.
Well, thank you very much. As Julie Pacino on her incredible debut feature, I Live Here Now. Thanks for listening to this chat with Julie Pacino. The film is screening at the Sydney Underground Film Festival. For other interviews and reviews, visit thecurb.com.au. Please rate, review, and share this interview with your film-loving friends. We hope they like it as much as you have. I'm Nadine Whitney, and I'll see you on the next one. Or maybe not. That might be Andrew.